Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, somebody ought to give it up for God today. What a hype team was that, huh? Come on, you get any better than that, Florida?
Great faith. Wow. Hey, man, that was a rough little deal here. I don't think that's supposed to happen. I tell you what, great faith, week four is going to be good. How many of y'all believe that? Today, you can be seated with all the people who didn't care. How many of y'all one more time would give it up for all of our campuses? They did this live. Everywhere, Florida, Ferguson, Weldon, all y'all. You know, faith needs a vehicle, and that's why I drove that out today, was to talk about, on the moon, you just can't take anything up there. You have to have a lunar vehicle, the right vehicle for the job. And the vehicle that you and I have to live and traverse in today's economy, in the global recession, the worst one, they say, in 40 years. If you're not really cautious, you think that you're just... Yeah, I'm just a product of that. So I can't buy a house, I can't this, I can't that. When the Bible said that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the vehicle, and the vehicle is faith and your mouth. Everybody shout, it's faith and my mouth. And some of y'all need to be smacked in the mouth, right? Your mouth gets you in trouble because we come to church and we hear the word and we start saying that. You know, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, something good's gonna happen to me. Then we get to the gas pump. We talked about this in week one, week two, week three. The importance of watching what you say, because people say, oh, I don't believe you have what you say, but you do, believe, it does work for you. Like nothing good ever happens to me. It is working for you. It's just working in reverse. In other words, the only way that this vehicle is going to move forward is when we put gas in it, and because faith without works is, everybody shout that, dead. Shout it again. What is it? So you have to have corresponding actions. And we are not just victims, we are victors. And so when we learn God's principles, we have fun doing it. Obviously, we're very creative. Our church is very creative, put a lot of hard work into thinking about how you can actually go, wow, invite my friends and neighbors because they need this. Some of y'all know people at work that are too negative, that they're caught up in, oh man, you know, Trump is the answer, Biden's the answer, Nancy needs to be killed, Nancy needs to be promoted. I mean, it's just so much hatred going on in the world today, and our whole world has gotten engulfed in politics, okay? So we're not going to be engulfed in politics because we're not looking for a president, we're looking for a king. Somebody ought to shout amen. He is the great king who supplies all of our needs, who takes care of us in grand style. So yeah, those poor people are—they're on the wrong train. But you have the vehicle of faith, and this is what this is about: this form of transportation. The first scripture I actually want to go to—it's really cool. But Jesus is telling a story about this paralytic man who was on a stretcher. Let's check it out. Some men came to Jesus carrying the paralytic man on a stretcher. That was his form of transportation. They attempted to bring him past the crowd and in front of Jesus, but because there were so many people gathering at the assembly, the place was crowded and there was no way to get him inside, so they crawled onto the roof and they dug their way through the roof. This is his friends, by the way. He couldn't do it. He's crippled. And they lowered the man on a stretcher in the middle out in front of Jesus. Then the next verse says, seeing the demonstration of their faith. Everybody shout, of their what?
Faith.
Seeing the demonstration of their faith. So we just talked about that. Faith without works is dead. So anytime you're really in faith, there's movement. If you want a baby, buy some diapers. You're going to need them. If you want a baby, decorate the room. If you want a husband, what kind of husband do you want? Yeah, I asked somebody that the other day. Like, I don't know. I'll just take any kind of husband. But then if you get any kind of husband, you're like, I don't like this guy. You're like, I asked a woman at our church. She was so cute. She was older. I'm like, what can I pray with you about? I promise you, this woman, she's a Florida. She's about 80 years old. And she said, I'm looking for a man. I said, okay. She said, yeah, I need some company, and I need a man. I said, how do you like your man? She said, I like my man's like I like my coffee. I like it tall and black. And I just laughed, and she's so cute, but she knew what she wanted. So do you want a white husband? Do you want a black husband? You want a short husband? You want a tall husband? You want a rich husband? You want a poor husband? You want an educated husband? You want a non-educated husband? You want a husband to sit down, shut up? Come on, somebody ought to shout. You got to know what you want. Everybody shout, you got to know what you want. And so when you know what you want, then you can actually start moving forward in that. And this is what this guy wanted. He wanted to be free. But notice he had to have some friends. He had four crazy friends that were saying, hey, you can't get through the roof on your own, but I can help you. This is where small groups come in. We're in small group sessions. You can get in one. Small groups is not just reading books. There's some people crocheting, some people riding motorcycles, some people are in an eating group. How many of you sign up for that group in a moment? Okay, so there's a group for you. What's the group for? So you don't do life alone. So maybe you're the first time coming to one of our campuses today and you're like, I met several people. I was roaming through the crowd at Sunset and I met a lady from Sunset Hills. I met a state patrol who comes to church here who I didn't know comes to church here. I got his number in case I need him. Come on, I'm not stupid, right? So now we have connectivity. We find people that like the same thing as we like, not everything, but a lot of things, and those people help us when we're in trouble. Because he couldn't get himself down into the room, but because he had four crazy friends wild enough to say, if he can't get through the door and he can't get through the window, well, we're going all the way to the top and we're gonna lower you down. And this is where the man received his miracle. So you gotta ask yourself a question this weekend. If you want great faith, who are the people in your life that are draining your faith and who are the people that are pumping you up? It takes a village. It takes a team. Can I get an amen on that right now? And seeing the demonstration of their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic man, son, your sins are forgiven. If you could put it up for the people. Son, your sins are forgiven. He didn't just say, you're healed. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now carry your stretcher and walk. And Jesus turned to the paralytic man and he looks at him and he watches him walk out. He came in crippled, and he's lowered down. Jesus deals, first of all, with the sin and the guilt and condemnation. You're never going to think that God's going to bless you if you know how bad you are. Raise your hand, because you don't want to lie in church. If you're pretty bad, raise your hand. If you're pretty bad. How many of you, you've invented a lot of sins yourself? Raise your hand. Right? So the enemy's always saying, here's what you're not. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. Jesus immediately says he won't receive his healing, and that'll be the same with you if you don't first receive forgiveness. So that's why we pray that prayer at any campus that you're at today, and we say, hey, do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? And then you all pray the prayer together. Why? Because if we don't deal with the sin issue in the root, then you'll never think that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Jesus loved you when you were in sin. He doesn't love you anymore when you're not. He just loves you. It's like with your kid. Anybody got a kid? Raise your hand. And you got more than one kid. You got two. You got one that you like more than the other. Raise your hand. No, don't do that. They're not here. But you got two kids. If one goes away to college and becomes, you know, I don't know, a lawyer or a doctor or successful, and the other one ends up being like, you know, the other side of the family, and they end up going to jail, do you not love the kid? No, you love the kid. You don't love the actions of the kid, but you love the kid. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. So for God so loved the world, he sent the vehicle of Jesus down to redeem us. And now he's going, I don't want my kids living broke, thinking, well, my life's on hold till the recession's over. Listen, all this politics up and down, don't participate in it. Keep it out there and allow the word of God to come on the inside of you. Come on, somebody, and get four crazy friends around you that help build up your faith. To tell you, hey, Shaquita, it ain't gonna happen that way. All the good men are gone. No, they're not gone. I met a couple here today that are good. There's only two, but that's not bad, right? So Jesus dealt with the sin issue first. Now, let's talk about this. Ambidextrous. It's hard to spell ambidextrous. Ambidextrous means you can use this hand and this sound at the same time. If you're like me, you struggle rubbing your stomach and patting your head. Raise your hand if that's you. Anybody like me? And it's better if you take out your gum when you're walking, especially downstairs. So ambidextrous means I can build a wall. Nehemiah was building a wall with this hand, and he was fighting with this hand. You're going to have to keep fighting off the depression, fighting off the mental illness that might be running in your family. You have to fight off all the things that are coming to you saying, you're not going to make it. You could have built a house had it not been for the rising cost of inflation. That stuff might be factual, but it's not true, because God set us free from all of that sin and death. And he said, I am the spirit of truth. And he said, when you know the truth has come to set you free. It might be factual that you battle with not a lot of money in the checkbook. It might be factual that you and your family aren't getting along right now, but the truth came to set you free. So when you get rid of that and you get in the vehicle of change, then now it happens in the mind first. Where mind goes, man follows. You're looking at me like I'm in some kind of moon suit or something, people. Ambidextrous. There's coming a time at some point that God's going to ask you to do this
and that. He's going to ask you to get up out of the depression. He's also going to ask you to tithe at the same time. I don't have enough money. That would be the reason why. So he'll ask you to do some hard things because he knows without putting gas in this vehicle, it's not moving forward. So when you go to church and you hear the word, you get around the right people, then you become the person that God can call upon, and you can be that ambidextrous person to just, in fact, bring somebody to church. I met somebody today that said, hey, I brought my sister to church. Very classy, sharp-looking lady. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you came. I'm glad I met her. But guess what? Her friend, her family member, brought her to church. Then I thought, you know what? I better not handle snakes today if we got a new person. That was a joke, guys. It's a joke. You know, it's not a joke when you got to explain it, right? My whole point is that you are the person that God's going to use to get somewhere. There's a guy named Elon Musk. Anybody ever heard of that guy? And Elon made a whole lot of money. So much money that he decided that NASA wasn't spending any money to put people in outer space. So he actually would become so wealthy that he would break the 9-year cycle where we hadn't did anything, and he would do it not without the, he didn't need the government. He was going to do it on his own. Now, I don't think Elon's born again. I don't think he's a covenant man, but that's exactly the same principle that I'm talking about. I'm saying at some point in your life, you need to say, I'm not dependent on the government. I'm going to be ambidextrous, and I'm going to be a history maker, and I'm going to change the world. No matter what the world does, I know what the word does, and I am a person of the word. Come on, give God praise today. Come on, Weldon. So I want you to see, I was watching something on Netflix the other day, and there's a lot of things on Netflix, one of which is Jeffrey Dahmer. How many of y'all don't want to watch that? Raise your hand. More than half of you do. Shame on you people. My gosh. But I was watching this little thing, and I took this snippet, and I want you to see one man who changed space because he personally was the vehicle of change. Check this out.
Earth is the cradle of humanity, but you cannot stay in the cradle forever.
Demonstration Mission 2 is going to be the first time a commercially built spacecraft will launch people to the space station.
We'll launch American astronauts from American soil for the first time in 9 years.
Astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley.
To think about flying rockets again to the space station, it's unbelievable.
A much greater vision that he has.
We're going to have a base on the moon. We're going to send people to Mars.
The work requires a lot of dedication, a lot of focus, and always a lot of risk. There's a part of you that can't let go of that hopefully irrational fear that something could go wrong.
During your life, there are things that are risky, but if it results in a better world, maybe it's worth that risk.
We should think more about what's the future we want. For me, it's making sure we become a spacefaring civilization.
Just looking out the window, you can literally see out into the galaxy.
As you go around the Earth, you don't see the lines and the borders that are drawn on maps. You see the Earth as this one entity, and it's our home.
You realize our world is precious, and you start have an appreciation for how little you actually are.
To be out there among the stars, yeah. I find that incredibly exciting. That makes me glad to be alive.
Wow. Come on, give it up for Elon Musk there. This isn't about Elon, it's about one guy. When he was a little baby and somebody's rocking him, they didn't say, oh, rock little billionaire, go to bed. I'm here to tell you today that you are grossly underestimating what God wants to do in your life. You are not just a human. You're an extraordinary human. You're not just here having a temporary visitation on earth. You're assigned here by Almighty God. You're not an accident. God designed you on purpose and with a purpose. But if you're not careful, you get to believing what the world has to say about you instead of what the word has to say about you, instead of what God has to say about you. Let's go here. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This guy's name is Bartimaeus. I like to call him Bart. He's blind. He's actually identified as the blind guy, blind Bartimaeus. Also, the enemy will always try to identify you by what you were. Then they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, Jesus was, and a large crowd, and a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, came sitting beside the road. He was sitting by there, and that was his custom. That's what he always did. And when Bart heard that Jesus of Nazareth
was coming, he began to shout and say, Jesus! Let's all shout that together. Why?
Jesus.
Come on, well then, everybody. What?
Jesus.
Ferguson, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then they sternly rebuked him, telling him, hey, sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Why don't you be quiet right now? And all the more he yelled, Jesus, louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and said, call him to me. Notice you got to get Jesus' attention. And while you're trying to get the attention of God, while you're trying to speak words of faith, he's blind on the side of the road, the enemy will tell you, shut up, be quiet, sit down. And the inner me will also say, you look crazy. You look crazy in a spacesuit right now, sweating your butt off on stage, talking to people about faith. Are you out of your mind, right? Well, people are going to think you're crazy anyway, so you might as well be crazy for Jesus. You might as well be crazy for positive. You might as well be a person that sees the glass half full instead of half empty. Give God praise today. And so you're shouting the opposite of what the news is saying. You say, Jesus! Let's all shout that again. It sounds good. What?
Jesus
stopped to call him. He called the blind man, telling him, take courage. First thing he says, take courage, get up. He's calling for you. Throwing off his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, back in the day, because they were blind and they needed assistance, they would wear a coat that was identifiable to everyone to say, I'm blind. He's no more vision now than he did 2 seconds ago. And by faith, he rips off the coat. He doesn't wait to say, I'm going to take off my coat when I feel that I can see, because you've got to see it on the inside. Remember, we talked about this, and if you haven't watched it, go back, get the Faith Church app. 1, 2, and 3. Listen to those because it'll help you. You got to see it on the inside. Everybody shout that. I got to see it on the inside. So when you see it in here, then you begin to have it in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you see it, then you say it, then you seize it, then you will really see it. See what I'm saying? You got to see it on the inside. I'm going to go slow because I can feel you getting it. See it in here. See myself at the right weight. See myself healed. See my heart beating properly. See my marriage strong. See it. Then eventually you'll start to really believe it. And then you start saying it. And the Bible said you have whatever you say.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good. Elon saw a Tesla. Nobody saw a Tesla. He saw a Tesla. He saw an electric vehicle. This isn't really about Elon. We talked a couple weeks ago about Kanye, now known as Yee. Poor little boy from the hood who said, I'm going to be a billionaire, and nobody believed him, but they believe him now, and half the crowd has paid $900 for a pair of Yeezy tennis shoes on a credit card, and Kanye, hashtag Yee, has got it because he said it. And he was operating in laws of faith, not even being born again. How much more is the greater one on the inside of you, the authoritative power of God, going to launch you into a new space? Somebody ought to get it all. I don't need everybody to get this. I just need a couple of people to get it and say, you know what? I'm not what they said I am. I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm going to fulfill my dream no matter what. And I'm going to throw this thing off first, because what are you doing? You're burning the boats. That story goes like this. There was a war going on. They needed to go over and fight the enemy. And when they got to the island, the commander in chief said, burn the boats. In other words, we're not going out of here. We die or we dominate. We die or we dominate. You need to burn the boats. Well, I'm going to hold on a little bit of this fear. I'm going to hold on a little bit of this past. No, no, no. You got to let that go and grab hold of what God has for you. And that's what I meant when I said burn the boats. So he throws away the coat. Everybody shout, he throws away the coat. So he called him, telling him, take courage, get up. Throwing away the coat, he jumped up to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Notice that's important too. Jesus wants you to say it. Well, isn't it obvious I can't see? Isn't it obvious? What do you mean? This is a stupid question. No, God wants to know, and he wants you to say it, because your mountain won't move until your mouth moves. So until your mouth moves, your mountain won't move. By the way, mountains move with words because they were made out of words, and God said, let there be. So you have to say it, and you got to say it. And you got to say it, and you got to say it until you believe it.
Amen.
The chairs you're sitting in here and all the campuses. I'm a little boy dreaming of being a preacher. My dad built a treehouse. But he didn't finish it. It was just a platform. And I would pretend that I was preaching when I was playing Pac-Man. Anybody old enough to remember the original version of Pac-Man? On Atari. Raise your hand if you remember Atari. It was a wood grain. It was just horrible looking, but thinking about it. But I played Atari. And I would pretend that Pac-Man was people that were coming to my church. I had a dream on the inside. And now you're all sitting in seats that I saw as a little boy. And then I said it. And then now you see what I see. And I didn't have the education that you got. I might not have had the setback you got. And you might not have had the setback I got. Hey, everybody has a setback. But actually it was a setup for a comeback to actually work into your testimony to say, look what God has done for me. My wife in her sparkly pants today, she was thinking that she was an accident. She was thinking that her dad never loved her. I've never met her biological dad. He did not want to identify as her father. But guess what? She tapped into a heavenly father. And now she's living out her dream, ministering around the world. Thousands of people are getting saved because you don't allow the enemy to define you. You define yourself. And you get on that rocket today and you say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ. Who shrieked this? I'm preaching good today, I tell you. Somebody ought to grab a hold of this right now. What do you mean? What shall I do for you? But he said, yeah, okay, all right. I want to regain my sight. So it kind of sounds like maybe he had previously seen. I want to regain my sight. Some of you need to regain your sight. Jesus said to him, go, your faith. Every campus, shout it. Go, your faith. One more time. What? Go, your faith. Hit it again. Go, your faith. Sounds good. Go, your faith. Sounds like I like it. Go, your faith. Go, your faith. Y'all getting weak. Come on. Go, your faith. You got to mean it. Go, your faith. Go, your faith. Not your government. Right. Not Biden. Not your savior, Trump. Not all your people, oh, looking for something to save you. Listen, Jesus has already saved you. And he said, hey, why don't somebody call on me? Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. My question is, why didn't they call the king? Call on the king today. Somebody ought to give the king praise. That's who you need. Jesus said to him, go, your faith, your confident trust in my power has made you well. And immediately, now we get manifestation. Immediately, he regained his sight and he began to follow Jesus down the road. No more coat, no more blind. Jesus is going, he's going. Oh, look at the trees. Look at the color on that. Look at the fuchsia on that. Look at the violet on that. Look. I'm here to tell you today that immediately at some point during this great faith series, even if you have to hear it over, maybe it's part 1, 2, and 3, and 4 for 6 weeks for you. But at some point, it's going to go off in you, and you're going to know, I am who he said I am. I can do what he said I can do. And I decree and declare that 23 will be the year for me. In 24, I'm going to score more. Come on, somebody. In 25, I'm going to be alive. In 26, the devil's in a fix. Somebody ought to get excited today about what I'm talking about. Immediately. I'm trying, man. I'm sweating up here, though, man. I tell you right now, I'm sweating. Losing electrolytes, losing weight. Next week, I'll be 95 pounds. If you ever want to lose weight and sweat, this would be a good suit for you. There's a story of the Bible about the healing of Bethesda. And let's read it. It says, now there was a Jewish festival. Jesus went out to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, there was a pool, which is... This pool is called Bethesda, for it had five porticos and colonnades beside it. Verse 4, for when the angel of the Lord would go down into the pool at the appointed season, shout appointed season for me one time, he would stir up the water, and the first one to go in after the water was stirred up was healed of his diseases. But there was a certain man who had been ill for 38 years. How many years? 38 years, and Jesus noticed him lying helpless, and knowing that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said, here's a question. Jesus always asks you a question. Do you want to get well? By the way, that's a great question, because when I talk to some people, they say, I don't want to get totally well because I don't want my disability to be cut off. People have told me that. These are real conversations that I have with people. People say, well, you know, I want to be this, but not totally. Listen, you got to ask people the questions, because some of you, by the way, this is a little footnote. But some of you are trying to help people that really don't want to get well. You've been trying to nurse him back, trying to get him right. You got two people living in your basement right now. They're watching your Netflix. When you go to the store to buy groceries, they yell and go, "We're almost out of Doritos." Those people got to go. I'm going to try it over here. I'm talking to somebody right now online. This is going to make everybody living in your basement mad right now. But some people don't want to get well. You've got to ask them, do you want to get well? And if their answer is, well, I don't know, then you got to go, bye, bye, bye. NSYNC, I don't know the song. I just know, bye, bye, bye. Everybody shout, bye, bye, bye. Girls are smiling because they love anything Timberlake. Yeah, bye, bye, bye. Do you want to get well? So Jesus said, do you want to get well? And now he answers, sir, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. When the water stirred up, everybody steps on me, steps over me. Notice that's not going to do you any good, crying and complaining. I'm sympathetic and I'm empathetic towards your pain. Don't hear me wrong. But because I love you, I have to tell you, You gotta quit acting like the victim. And I've done it too. It's Pastor's Appreciation Day today, actually. And you don't even know it. By the way, didn't want to bring it up, but I haven't received one card. I got one person who's on staff that posted about me and said, Pastor's Appreciation Day, but it's Pastor's Appreciation Day, and I do all this stuff for you, and you guys never do me. I'm sweating all the way down my crack right now, but you guys just can't even feel it, and you don't even know what I do for you and how hard I have. I owe $16 million on this church. I'm on television doing all the preaching, not even asking for money. It's Pastor's Appreciation Day. You know about Cardinals Day. You know about Mother's Day. You know about Valentine's Day, but now you know about Pastor Appreciation Day. See how I brought it up? You didn't even know that I brought it up right there, but it's a thing. It's a thing. Come on, somebody. See, he said, I ain't got nobody to put me in the pool. So what he should have done, if I'm here and that's the pool, and your legs don't work, but your arms work, you see an angel coming, you say, this divorce ain't killing me. I don't care, nobody's going to church. I'm gonna get to church, my God. I'm gonna do it. And then somebody, come here quick. Somebody might come along. Come over here. Grab my legs and pull them up. Somebody might come along and help me get in the pool. But if you ain't moving, ain't nobody helping you. That's good, you hurt my leg. Come on, give it up for that guy. Does that make sense? You gotta want it bad, baby. I'm asking you, do you want to get well? Do you want to get free? Do you want out of debt? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Somebody ought to grab it right now. Don't worry about your neighbor. Forget about them. They didn't pay your bills. Oh, yeah. Good job. You're good. You can actually be a chiropractor. I think you helped me. I feel loose. Verse 8 says, and Jesus said unto him, get up. Get up. Get up. He didn't say, you poor little baby. I can't imagine everybody kicking you in the head, stepping over you. People just don't even care for handicapped people. There's not accessible access to the pool. This is all. Jesus will tell you the truth because the truth will set you free. By the way, this is why you want to go to church. Raise your hand if you feel better now. You're feeling more, less like a victim and more like a victor. Raise your hand. See, this is why you got to go to church. But the enemy will tell you, just watch online, pay your taxes at the same time, watch the Cards game. Listen, I'm all for the Cards. Some of their players go to church here. Their kids, one of them's here right now. I'm here to tell you that the Cards won't help you. Love it when we won. You didn't win nothing. Go to the game, but make sure you don't skip games for football because for church. I'm gonna skip church because I gotta go to football. Because when you're sick, they ain't gonna call you. Got quiet in here today. I touched your sacred holy cow. So sorry. I don't hate football. I don't hate basketball. I don't hate golf. I don't hate any of that. But what I do hate is when I watch people take their time that they're supposed to get in the Word so they could go to space and watch people like Elon Musk, who doesn't even know God, succeed while you're getting kicked in the head. I'll leave it at that. Next time you'll notice, send me a pastor appreciation card unless you want hit like that right there. I'm just kidding. Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your pallet and walk. Verse 9 says,
And immediately, Ferguson, immediately the man was healed and recovered his strength. It's one thing to just be healed. If you've been sick for a good while, you'll understand this. Being healed's great, but recovering your strength, this is a miracle. I'm here to prophesy over to you that the information that you're getting right now, week one, week two, week three, and now week four, if you will apply this information, now if you don't do anything about it, it'll be just like what happened when you used to watch Richard Simmons' little short shorts while you were eating Oreos. You didn't lose any weight, but you knew how to lose weight. Then you watch another P90X. Anybody ever read that? You see these things? Like, you know what? You know, I want the P90X. Never worked out a day in your life, and now you're going to be a Navy SEAL. Okay? But we buy into, if somebody give me a pill, if I get the video. No, no, no. It's the little things we do every day that make a difference. Your marriage got in trouble because it was the little things you said and did that got you there. How are you going to get it out? How are you going to get in love? You're going to do little things to get back in love. And then once you're back in love, now you know how you got there because it's no longer the fruit of love. It's the root of love. Nicole, I was watching her last night in sleep. She's asleep, but she looked like an angel. She's a woman for real that doesn't need makeup or anything. She takes it off like, I'm taking this makeup off, you know, while I'm preaching. And girls look at her and go, you still look phenomenal. Okay, but I look at her and I'm saying, man, what an angel. I don't love her because of what she can do for me. I love her. I mean, I love, not just love, like I love her. Test me on that. Try to take her away. You're about to die. I do believe in Pastor Appreciation Day, if you know what I mean today. At some point in your life, you got to realize that God doesn't love you because you were good, because you were pretty, because you did good. He's not going to bless you and recover your sight. He's not going to bring you those four crazy friends into your life to help roof off the roof and help elevate your life. You're going to have to do it. When David killed Goliath, guess who did it? David did. Look what God did. God didn't do that. God helped David do that. But David was the mighty man of valor. You look at the 12 spies that went in. Remember that in the Bible? The 12 spies went out to check the land. 10 came back with an evil report and said, we can't do it. 2 came back and said, we're well able to possess the land. Who got what they said? The 2 that said it? Everybody yells, the 2 that said it. Well, you're right, but all of them got it. Everybody got what they said. The 10 that said, we can't get it, they got exactly what they said. The 2 that said, we gonna get it, they got what they said. See what I'm saying right now? So faith is acknowledging that God's in control, but he put you in the earth realm to do the Elon thing, to do the Kanye thing, to do the thing that you are called to do, because there will be a hole in the universe. I'm begging you right now to hear me. There will be a hole in somebody's life if you don't step up and do what God called you to do. It is hard doing what I do. It is hard on my family. I fly to Florida today and preach there Tuesday night and Sunday, everything that I do, but it's worth it because I hear people that say, if you hadn't have done it, I was gonna commit suicide. If you hadn't have done it, I would deal on drugs. I'm here to tell you today that you are just as important as me. You got to go out and tell everybody this week, get to church. Come on, somebody. And you got to bring Mary to church. You got to bring Bob to church. And you got to bring Bill to church. If you're not evangelistic, shame on you. You got to be a friend, to bring a friend, to open up a roof and lower them down in this environment. And what an easy sales pitch. You show them this video and they'll go, I'll go just for the entertainment. Stand up with me, those 7 people that stood up, thank you. Couple questions before I go. Number one, does your faith feel like that pool where it's stirred? Raise your hand if your faith, every campus, I want to see it. Faith feels stirred, okay? Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, my faith feels stirred. Do I have a keyboard player? The second thing I want to ask you is, do you really want to get well or better or out of debt or charge your life? It's just, you got to ask that question. Do you really want? Because when I turned 50, I wanted to be ripped in the best shape of my life, and I did it. And then COVID hit, and now I want to be in good shape again, but not that bad, apparently. Can I be honest with you? And then I make a decision, I promise. The other night, like last Saturday night, I'm like, I'm not eating anything. And even last night, I thought, I'm not eating anything after 8 o'clock. I'm going to do the intermittent fasting thing again. And then about, I don't know, my blood sugar dropped or something in the middle of the night. And I found myself standing there eating a granola bar at 2 in the morning. My man, I broke my fast.
And I feel bad even while I'm walking to bed. I'm like, look at you, man. And then I woke up and I was hungry again because I got a bunch of carbs, and carbs make you hungry. Raise your hand if this is making sense to you. So it's the decision of quality that makes the difference. But we need God's help to do that. So if that's you today, I want you to stretch your hands toward me at all campuses, and I want to pray for you as your pastor. Actually, I want Nicole to pray for you. Nicole's a phenomenal prayer warrior. She doesn't just pray on stage. She prays. I hear her in the house praying. I hear her praying for me. But I want your expectation to get high today that when she prays for you, that you're going to feel a spirit of faith, that the Holy Spirit's going to move in your house, that depression's going to leave. I want her to just let it loose on you. Stretch your hands toward her right now. Let her pray.
Father God, faith. Faith is what you're moved by. You're not moved by need. God, I need this. Does nothing. God, I believe you're bigger than whatever I'm looking at. That's everything. We believe that you are bigger. We take the limits off of who you are. We do not constrain you with our doubts, and we do not hold you down with our world experience. You're not of this world. You are God. You are creator. You are breaker of hard things. You are breaker of chains. You are mender of relationships. You are healer of body. You are shepherd and lover of your people. You are the banner over us, declaring our future even when we don't see it. You know you created a future for us, and it is hopeful, it is wonderful, and it is beautiful, and it is not dependent on this moment and what is happening to us. It's dependent on this moment and what is happening through us in you. You have given us free choice, God. Lay down and don't move. Or look at you and get up one more time. God, we are not doing this in our strength. We're doing this in your strength. When we're weak, you are strong. So here we are, God, trust falling into your arms. And you are faithful to meet us in that place. Your word says that we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. It says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So God, if we're seated with Jesus at this moment, when you look in heaven, you see us at your right hand. The right hand denotes favor. You look at us with favor, not because of what we've done or what we deserve. In spite of it, you sent Jesus to die and cover all of our sin. And God, just in case our sin is in the way of our healing, I'm going to ask everybody to join me and say this out loud and say, dear God, those things I've done that I've not told anyone, I even tried to hide it from you. You already know it. Forgive me, God, even as I struggle to forgive myself. You're bigger than me. You forgive my sin. And you heal my body. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.